Matt gave us an overview about stories, all kinds of stories in literature, God's stories, our stories, and so on. And tonight we will have another story, a parable which Jesus told to his listeners, as he often did, to help them to understand who God is and how God is. In world mission, in evangelism, not long ago, some people developed a simple program called just storytelling, storytelling from the Bible. And this is a very successful method because the Old Testament and the New Testament stories are about real people, and the listeners, even they have never heard the gospel before, they can easily identify themselves in those stories, even illiterate people. Now, do you like love stories? Okay. Stefan will read this love story to us.
Story is in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 onwards, and you can find this in the church Bibles on page 1049. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is the word of the Lord.
The story of the lost son. Sometimes it is also called the story of the prodigal son, der Verschwender. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, "Give me the share of property that falls to me." That means, please give me the share that would be mine if you had died. The old father looked into his son's eyes and saw that they spoke volumes. His eyes said, "Father, My life here is completely boring. I can never be fulfilled as long as I remain here. I have to find meaning for my life. I think the cause of my frustrations is you, your rules, your regulations, your limitations. I have to find myself. A few weeks ago, there was a poster on a wall here in the city saying, ein Leben lang warten, warten auf Leben. Waiting a life long, waiting for life. The young man in our story did not do that. He went for life. The father thought, he can never be my son by force. A forced son is no son at all. He has preferred things to me. He feels they will make him the man he wants to be, so he should have these things. With tears running down his cheeks, he gave the young man his share. The young man was excited. The future holds tremendous possibilities for me. Life is going to be different. I'm going to be a fulfilled man. I'm going to be free now. So a few days later, he packed his rucksack with a few things and went to a far country. Maybe today he would buy an air ticket for a world trip or so. Now for this one, the distance may not have been so far in miles, but far in relationship. The son had decided that the father was as good as dead and treated him that way. He wanted to live his life completely apart from the father, enjoying himself, his gifts, and his money. So he started living and searching for meaning. I'm going to get it this time, he said happily. But somehow life refused to be exactly what he wanted it to be. So he started to use the props, requisiten. He used money as prop. He used loud music as prop. He used friendship as prop. And he found he needed these props more all the time. Increasingly, he felt that life was a little empty. So he had to seek means and ways of filling it. That is why he overspent money. He was not seeking to be bad. All he wanted was life full of meaning and reality and joy. Therefore, he was going to use everything he had in order to get what he wanted. He spent every asset he had, all the love he had, all emotions he had, all friendship he had. Everything that made him a man, he spent. He ran through the whole account of his life and emptied his human bank completely. He emptied sex, he emptied desire, he emptied appetite. When he had spent everything, a great famine arose in the country. What a terrible timing, he thought. Just when you need to call upon your gifts, find your control, you turn around and find there's famine in every department of life. Self-control, it's empty. Desire, gone. Run wild. How did I empty myself? You ask. I never intended this. The farther away he got from himself and from meaning. He was confused, hungry, tired, starving, lonely and shattered. Ground zero. Er war am Nullpunkt seines Lebens naked, very guilty, and the distance from the Father seemed unbridgeable. The young man thought he could earn a living, so he tried to get a job at one of the landowners. "What are your qualifications?" was the first question. "None." So the man said he didn't need him. Like a drowning man reaching out to grasp anything at all, the young man cried out desperately, "Help me!" "Well then, go down into the valley and look after my swine," said the man. So there he stood, the once respectable young man by the pigs. They were wallowing in mud and enjoying it, eating pods to the fill. All around silence, no music, no comfort, no friends, no prosperity, no home, no father, no life. What had happened? He left home to enjoy life, but is this life? He left to find freedom, but now he is an absolute slave of circumstances. He wanted the gifts of life without the giver. He wanted the gifts, but not the giver. The swine were having a feast, worms, pots, and all. And in the meantime, hunger was really biting him. He was almost fainting. He began to hate the fact that he was a human being and not a hog. I remember many years ago, a pastor told us from his experience serving in a prison in France, in a heavy prison where the real criminals were, those with life sentence, murders and such people. And the pastor was able to start a small church among these men. And one of them, Catalano, his name was Catalano. Is that an Italian name? Catalano? Maybe. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Catalano, I think he was a murderer. And he had a tattoo on his neck, across his throat, dotted lines, and written here, "Cut here." Can you imagine? Sarcastic. But this can be philosophy of life for some people. Why do people hate life? Because when they are apart from the Father, life can be such a burden that we hate it. "I wish I were a hawk," some say. Has the young man found himself at last? At last. Sorry, I mixed these words up. Has he found his life at last? Has he finally found meaning? Is he now complete? Is he fulfilling his humanity? Hardly. What remains? Just rags and tatters, dirt and loneliness. But as I prepared for this sermon, it came to my mind, this is not only the experience of men. For women, there's no difference. Many of you know the story. I call it High Noon at the Jacob's Well. It was midday. Jesus arrives at the well, very thirsty, and he asks a lady for a cup of water. In turn, he offers her living water for eternity. And as the conversation goes on, and Jesus tells her to bring her husband. "I have no husband," she said. "Correct answer," Jesus said. "You have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." And when we hear this story, then we tend to think, well, this was a loose woman. We in German we call her Liebe Dame or even ein Flittchen. I don't think she was. I think she was somebody who had a desire for real, fulfilled life. Like many, many other people around the world. A man crossed her way, they fell in love with each other, and she was so happy. He really loves me, and now we will have children, we will be a happy family, and so on. But then there came up misunderstandings, disappointments, and finally divorce. Then another man showed up. Now he is the right one. But after a short romance, the same procedure as before. Let's have another try. She wanted a man to give her fulfillment of life. But it didn't work. And it cannot work. Why do so many marriages end with divorce? Because two egoists can never fulfill each other's life. Christians have a bit of advantage in marriage. I will demonstrate this with a German word, marriage. You know the German word, Ehe. There's an egoist, and there's an egoist, but with Christians, in the midst is der Herr, the Lord. That's a good thing, isn't it? But imagine these two egoists alone, together, what the result is. We can see it in the statistics, sadly. Human love can be wonderful, but it can never give fulfillment of life. The more we grasp, the emptier we become. A German song says, je mehr hat, je mehr will, nie schweigen seine Klagen still. The more he has, the more he wants. His lamentations never stop. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying everything in the world is bad, and as Christians we should avoid it. Everything what God created is there for us to enjoy it. Mountains and sea, people, plants, animals, music, friends, food, drinks, sports, and what have you. But we can easily be misled to use all the good things in the wrong way, with a wrong attitude. And the greatest human error is to think these things, whatever or how much it might be, would be able to fill our whole life. They can give our life a very nice shape. Damit können wir unser Leben gestalten, aber nicht füllen. These things cannot fill our lives. Because there's something special in every human being, we call it soul, our inner being. And the longing of our soul cannot be satisfied by anything in the world. This was the experience of the old church father Augustine, because he said, our soul is in unrest till it finds rest in you. You know, of course, that Jesus himself gave us the story of the prodigal son, the same Jesus who said, he who loves his life, like this young man, loses it. It's a bit of a strange sentence, isn't it? Everybody of us loves his own life. But we tend to think that we can fulfill our own life. At this point, said Jesus, the young man came to himself. It was not simply that he came to his senses. There was something more that drew him. It was the memory of love, a father's love. It was love that brought hope in a hopeless situation. And it was this love that impelled the son to take a very simple step. He said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned.'" That was all. He planned to explain to his father that he didn't deserve to be his son. Just a field worker, a slave, for he knew that would be better than dying in a far country. But have you thought how hard that journey back was for the son? Every step was heavy. "How am I going to appear?" he asked himself. "I went away rich, and here I am broken and starving." And the devil probably said, "Don't go. You are not good. Stay here and die." But this is a terrible voice. Don't listen to it. Remember that love says, "Come." While he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him. He threw his arms around the young waster with his marks of dissipation, his wounds and his filth. Gezeichnet von seinem ausschweifenden Leben, seinen Wunden und seinem Schmutz. And the wanderer in the arms of love began his confession. This is the real place for repentance, in God's arms. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father was hardly listening to the confession. It was not the words, it was the son he was interested in. Already the father was calling the servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. We are going to have a big party. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Here my story ends. No, it's not my story. It's Jesus' story. And I want to close with a question. Are you still dead, or are you already alive? Are you still starving in a foreign country, or have you come home?